starting at Hammond Bays, the fourth wide line. Fourth wide line on Hammond Bays. I'm going to be excellent. Okay, 55B4. Today's share is sponsored in memory of Reb Chaim Ben David Harris by Dr. Herbert Harris on the occasion of his yahrzeit by Dr. and Mrs. Moshe Harris. Amar Rabbi Yechonah might have said, Ashrei Adam Mefakir Tamid. Fortunate is a person who is always in fear, meaning he tries to see the consequences of his actions before he acts. He watches, he's afraid of consequences. Umak Shalibai, one who hardens his heart and doesn't look at consequences, Yibo Barah will fall in bad. Rashi, Mefaked, Dayeg Liras Hanailad. He worries to see the consequence. Shloitera Tekola Bagach, Im Asazites. A Tekola shouldn't come out if I do this. And now the Gemara gives us stories. Now, in all these stories, the way I understand them, there was obviously, Klal Yisrael deserved the punishment. Churban Beis HaMikdash had to happen, Beitar had to be destroyed, Tur Malka had to be destroyed. But what was the trigger point? The trigger point was a story when people didn't see consequences. So if you see consequences, you can avoid the trigger point. Now what would have happened? Would there have been another trigger point? Maybe they would have done tshuva? It's speculative. But the Gemara is saying that the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Churban of Tur Malka and the Churban of Beitar all happened because of stories of people did not look for consequences. That was the trigger point.
Was this a theme? In other words, this is just an example of one of them?
This was the story that triggered it. We will see. I want to make it clear. It's not because of this one story that the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. No, but the actual trigger point, Klal Yisrael deserved the punishment that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed. But exactly when and how and what?
The straw that broke the camel's back.
It's not. I don't see. This is the way, two ways to learn. You could learn it's the straw that broke the camel's back, or you could learn that this is this. It would have happened, but this is how it happened. What would have happened if this story wouldn't have happened? Would it have come about through a different story? It's speculative. But this is the story that caused to happen that the punishment that Klal Yisrael deserved came raining down upon him. Again, you can understand it one of two ways. Obviously, it's indicative of a culture that needed Churban Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, which was a chesed to Klal Yisrael, as we will see. But that's not the point. What story is the story that caused the actual Churban? Now, if that story wouldn't have happened, if people would have looked for consequences, I don't know. Maybe it would have delayed the Churban. Maybe there would have been more room to do tshuva. I don't know. This is all speculative. This is the story that happened that actually triggered Churban. Akamtsu Barkamtsu Chorav Yerushalayim. Because of the story of Kamtsu Barkamtsu, that's why Yerushalayim got destroyed. Atarnagulu Batarnagulta over a rooster and a hen, Chorav Tur Malka. Tur Malka was a big city. In Hebrew, it's called Har HaMelech. In Aramaic, it's called Tur, which means mountain. Malka is king. Tar HaMelech. Asaka de Rispik, which is the side of a woman's carriage. Charev Beitar, the city of Beitar, which was a huge city 60 years after the Churban. It was a metropolis of Yidden, and it got totally destroyed. And it was a terrible destruction. And the story happened, was triggered by a side of a wagon. Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't deserve this punishment for other things. But there's always a trigger that gets it done, whatever that's supposed to be. Rashi.
Trigger different than, which one is that?
So I'm trying to avoid the picking sides in the two ways of learning it. I'm saying the actual story happened because of this. This is the story that happened. Now, what would have happened if this story didn't happen is speculative. Rashi, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. It's speculative. What brought about the Churban in actuality? This story. Let me try to word it in a different place. Reuven goes somewhere and something happens to him. Oh, I'm sorry, Reuven doesn't go somewhere. Shimon goes somewhere and something happens to him. It was by Shert that the thing happened to him. It happened in that place. Now, what would have happened had he not gone to that place? Usually the same thing would have happened because it was by Shert. But what if that thing was an Aveira and it happened to him? So is that Aveira the cause? Or it would have happened anyway, maybe delayed, maybe he could have done tshuva, we don't know. But the actual Aveira triggered this, you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm limit. Rashi, Saka, the Rispik, Daifin, Shemakevis, Noshim, Shukar, Mituka, Belosh, and Ashkenaz, we connect with like a wagon, the Bina Baisa, Bethnaik, and I listen to Kudnaisa, Rispik. I think Kudnaisa is a mule. When you bring me a mule in a wagon. That's what I think it means there. That Kamsa bar Kamsa, Kach Shem Shnei Yehudim. That was the name of two Jews. Now, the In Yaakov points out that Rashi is trying to say not like the Mashah. The Mashah says Kamsa bar Kamsa were father and son. And Rashi says Shnei Yehudim, two Jews. It means Rashi seems to say they were unrelated. A Kamsa bar Kamsa Chorav Yishalayim. Now, who Gavra? There was a person, the Rachmei Kamsa. His friend was Kamsa. About Dvavi Bar Kamsa, and his enemy was Bar Kamsa. Rashi, the Rachmei Kamsa, Ohav Yishmei Kamsa. Now, according to the Mashal, it was a father and son, which leads us to understand better why this mistake happened, and also why we mentioned Kamsa's name. Kamsa really had no active part in this story. He just happened to be the friend of the person. So, why do we mention his name? It could have just said Abar Kamsa. So, according to the Mashal, it's because of the confusion that happened because of father and son. The son got invited. He thought, oh, he's inviting me because even though he hates me, but I'm the son of his friend. So he went. Had it been a stranger, he would have said, this must be a mistake. Why in the world is he inviting me? That's how the Mashal explains it. That's why we mention Kamsa's name, because he's an integral part of the story. This mistake happens because it's a father and son. Because he invited Bar Kamsa instead of Kamsa by mistake. Right. So the question was, why did Bar Kamsa not say, I don't belong there? So to my shop, because it was a father and son. It's his son's friend. So the guy can think, even though he might not like me, but he's my father is his friend, so he invited me. Rashi, however, doesn't learn that way. Rashi learns Shnei Yehudim, they're not related. Zamtichida, the reason we say Kamsa Bar Kamsa, we're not blaming Kamsa. We're just saying it happened because of a confusion between Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Not blaming anybody, we're saying the story. The story happened because of a confusion. That's how the Chidah learns. There's some that want to learn that Kamsa should have come uninvited. Why didn't he come uninvited? Had he come, then we would have avoided the issue because he would have come and Bar Kamsa would have seen him there and understood that, you know, he might not belong there or whatever it is.
Well, what would change if he came?
I don't know. I like the Chidah's shot, the simplest shot. That we're not blaming anybody, we're just saying it happened because of a confusion between Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. After the Tzudasa, this man made a party. Amalei v'shmaya zilaisli Kamsa. He told his servant, bring me Kamsa. Azu aisli Bar Kamsa. Brought him Bar Kamsa. Azu ashkechei davi yasef. He found Bar Kamsa sitting there. Amalei, mirdi, ahu gavra bal devavad ahu gavrahu. You are my enemy. My boyisacha. What are you doing at my party? Right? Why are you at my party? What?
Why you say your servant brought me here?
Again, now, but you don't belong here. He basically wanted to throw him out. He wanted to throw him out. Come, put, get out. I'm a lehoyev asoya. Since I'm here, Shavkan, please let me stay. I'll pay you what I eat and drink. I'm a lehoy. I want you out of here. The trashy leshavkin aloch, I'm not leaving you here. Amalei yivnach lach demei palga v'sudasech. I will pay you for half your meal, for your party. Amalei loy. Amalei yivnach lach demei kula sudasech. I will pay for the whole meal. Imagine a guy's there by a chasana. I mean, let's put the, right, a chasana costs $20,000, and he's offering to pay $20,000 to sit there. Amalei loy. Dr. Biyari grabbed him in his hand. Okmei stood him up, Bob Kenny threw him out. Amar, he said, the rabbis are sitting here, and they were not my chum. I lose the ilum? I don't know. I'll find out in a second. Shema minal kanichalohu. It's a raya that they agree. That means they're happy with the fact that I got thrown out. The Medrash says the name of one of the Chachamim that were there, Reb Zecharia ben Avkulos, who comes up later on, he was sitting at that party. Now, why didn't they make a machah? So either because there's different shatim, and again, just offering what's said, I'm not picking sides. Either because they would don the owner for the kapschus, he had a legitimate reason for throwing him out. They didn't want to go up and make a machah without knowing whether the reason was legitimate or not, and they didn't want to make a tumult at the party. Or they were guilty of, the fact was, in that generation, you didn't start up with wealthy people in public, and therefore they didn't start up. Again, these are two pshat to mention, I'm not picking sides. We're talking about big people, so I just keep quiet. So I will go and snitch to the king. Now, I don't know how he translates Eichu Bekurtza. What does Archgold and his great wisdom say?
Spread slander.
What? Spread slander. So the Mepharshim want to know why it says Eichu Be, eat. Why is that the word of spread? So they say, because what happens was when you came to say a juicy piece of slander, they gave you food. They fed you. So it's Eichu Bekurtza. I'll go eat as I spread my slander. That's how the Achreidim learned the word. May Malka by the king. Rashi Eichu Bekurtza Malchinus. I will be a tattle tailor. Also, Amalei Lekeser Mardu B'chol Yidoi. He came and he told the Caesar, the Jews rebelled against you. Now, it was not true. It was a sheker. They did not rebel. Nothing had happened except they threw him out at a party. Amalei Miyemer, prove it. Amalei Shadilu Kabano, send them a carbon. Chazis imikarmela. You'll see if they bring it. Azul shadur be eglatosa. So he sent a third-born calf. That's the pashim shot. Because Rashi said, not elsewhere, Rashi tells us that a third-born calf is the best calf. Because the first two are not as strong. The third time an animal gives birth, it's a stronger calf. Some learn eglatosa means it's a third grown. But Rashi brings both Pshatim, I believe, in Sanhedrin. But we learned the third calf. What's the symbolism in the third calf? The Mashal says there were three agolim that Klal Yisrael got punished for. One was the Ego in the Midbar, and then Yeravam made two agolim. So the symbolism in three, in Tilsa, is that there's Klal Yisrael still has the Avera of three agolim that's hanging on them. And that's the symbolism of the fact, not that the Kaiser knew that, and that he thought, oh, I would get the eagle, but the Rabbi Nisham set it up, that it was an eagle tilsa, as a hint that there's still a chait eagle that hasn't been totally taken care of, three of them, the one of the Midbar, and the two of Yeravim. On his way, he made a blemish, in the lips, I don't know how he translates niv, upper lip. Now this is problematic. Dukin shibayim usually means cataracts. You can't make a mum in a cataract. Either the cataract is there and it's a mum, or it's not there and you can't make it there. So someone had changed the gears to berish shibayim, which is the eyelash, the eye cover. Eyelid. Someone had said that's what dukin here means. I don't know what Archko says. Probably says it means that. Who is he caused that from? Right, that's the Sabbath of Shadow that we got. That he caused the cataract. Now, the guy knew that you don't bring a bamum for a carbon. They used to bring carbonus. A guy was allowed to bring a carbon to Hashem anywhere he wanted to. But they didn't bring about mum, but they didn't consider these things mumim. To them, a cut in the upper lip, whatever the mum was, or a cataract, was not enough to disqualify an animal. To Yidden, in Halacha, it is enough to disqualify an animal. And the Bar Kamta knew that. So he basically knew that the Kesher would not view that as a mum, but that Yidden would, which would create a big problem. So the Rabbanon said, listen, we better bring it. It's the king's carbon. It's a balmum. We'll be over the lav because you can't mess around with a king. You're opening a door that people will say we can bring bali mumim. According to the Medrash and Eicha, right? So again, the Gemara here does not bring that. The Medrash and Eicha brings Reb Chaim ben Akulas' name as having sat there. Not the only one, but he was there. So they wanted to kill him because he's a Raidav. He's going to go tell the king, and Chaim will be in hot water. And a Raidav, you kill before he does his act of redeema. It'll look like you killed him because he was Matamu. Can't just kill the guy.
What would be the big deal?
What would
be the big deal if he was people? What was the first shot?
I lost you. Right.
And why can't they explain to the king?
Because people don't understand. But the king, he won't understand that it's not a mum.
They could do a swap.
I guess he was there, and he might have had agents with him. It's his tolerance that caused the Beis Hamikdash, our house, to be destroyed. The Sarvas Echaleinu, I believe the Gra in Bracha says, Echribas Beiseinu is down here. The Sarvas Echaleinu is Beis Hamikdash Shomayla. And caused the exile. Okay, before we continue the story, I once said, and I thought I saw it somewhere later on, that what is pshat that they don't have a mum in the upper lip and in the cataract? Because to Goyim, what you say and what you see is not a blemish. By Yidden, what you say and what you see is a mum. Right, to us, your mouth can't be loose and talk and talk and talk and talk. Goyim's words, sticks and stones will break my bones and words will never hurt me. It's not true in Yiddishkeit. Lashon Hara is a terrible avera. In fact, the avera that caused the Beis Hamikdash. Also, Goyim look at everything, and we hold we have to have Shmiras Seinayim. So those are the two areas where Goyim don't have a mum, and Yidden have a mum. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Kurbana. Carbon lahakavag of Mizbeh, the Kaimelan Ishish, the Rabbis, the Sight of the Kachabim, Shinaidim, the Dharm, and Zavisky Shroll. They're allowed to send the carbon. The Nifts of Asayim, Safo, Yoin, the upper lip. The Dudula have a Mumma lahakav, the Gvaya, the Bamba, the two. And their Bamba, they can bring this. Elam, a Chusar Aver. The only thing it's a Mum is if it's missing a limb. Dukin is Tilo, Kahanaita, Kadaik. Kadaik is like a covering. Yaim Ramata Mumba Kachim Yaharak, she is Swurim, she was sure shit, the Mumba Kachim, Babra Mumba Yabai. Narak, they were killing him for that. And the Sinusai, Savla Nusai, Shisavla Zevla Hargai. By the way, this is a very important Rashi in Midas. What is Anava? A person who's tolerant is an Anav. People that are intolerant, it comes from Gaiva. Intolerance comes because how dare he? Tolerance comes about because a person's not machshav himself all that much.
Rabbi Margaretin?
What?
Rabbi Margaretin?
Again. I'm not here to pick sides.
So I saw a saber called Gehillah.
Dr. Brinkley, wait, somebody's talking here. Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, thank you.
Yeah, all I'm pointing out is the word anivus and sablonus, Rashi says, is synonymous. Now, you have a tie on the sky. I don't pick sides and what was right, what was wrong. What happened to me is this triggered him. The Maisa, and they killed him. This story would not, again, this is the story. Yeah. It's not saying there was Chayim ben Akulus that did an Aveira to cause Korban Beis HaMikdash. No, he's not. That was the trigger point. In the course of the story, had that not happened, this would not have been the Korban. Exactly, exactly. Yes, Dr. Bray.
So I saw a Sefer called Yechilas Yitzchak, where he brings down to explain that the problem was that Rabbi Zachari ben Avkulus was the head of the Sanhedrin, but he felt himself to be an Anav, so he voiced his opinion first, as opposed to waiting until the end. And once he voiced his opinion first, nobody would go against him, because his Anivus was...
I once heard that shot also. Thank you. I don't remember what Sefer I heard it from. Yes, there's those that say that he spoke up He should have waited because he was the head of Sanhedrin. You're right. I heard it once. Again, there's a lot of, I want to make this clear. There's a lot of pshatim in this story. With other things that Mitzchari ben Avkulus did, there's other stories, there's people tying them in. So there's a lot of shiurim to be said in this story. We're learning Pashat Gemara Rashi, and I'm just mentioning a few things.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question here? And you may have answered it already. I'm not sure. The point of this is that there was a series of errors along the way. There was a triggering event. There was a seed of this sinas chinam, but then there was a series of triggering events after that. Correct?
Is it a triggering event? Meaning, Churban Beis HaMikdash was deserved. It was deserved before this. But how did it come about through these series of events?
But there are individuals at fault along the way. The last one we just had.
Correct. There are individuals at fault the whole way. Correct.
Thank you.
And again, Churban Beis HaMikdash doesn't happen for individuals. And Beis HaMikdash doesn't get destroyed because three people make a mistake. It was indicative of a culture of Sinat Chinam, of Lashon Hara. But what story actually got the Churban? What incensed the Romans to come? Right? Obviously, the Beis HaMikdash deserved to be destroyed. Obviously, Klal Yisrael was at a level that they didn't deserve the Beis HaMikdash. But in actuality, what was the story of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? So there has to be a trigger, and this was the trigger. Again, you don't destroy a Beis HaMikdash because of one story. Doesn't make a difference. You still don't destroy a Beis HaMikdash because of one story. It's a Beis HaMikdash of all Klal Yisrael. Right, the Gemara in Yuma says that was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. Because of one story of Sinat Chinam, you destroyed a Beis HaMikdash?
Rabbi Margaretin?
Yes.
If I make it more contemporary, like if people point to the fact that World War I started because of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, that wasn't just that, but it was like a triggering point that there was other stuff building up beside it, but then people point to that as that was like the focal point, the hub deal.
I thought so, of that, and I'm not sure I would say the same thing. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry?
Because over there, without that story, I don't know if the war would have opened up. Here, the Churban Beis HaMikdash deserved to happen. There had to be a story that brings it about. I don't know if you can compare the two. I'm not sure. Zogtik Gemara Vayter. By the way, it happened on Tisha B'Av, that story. Zogtik Gemara Vayter. You know that? He assassinated him was on Tisha B'Av. World War I broke out on Tisha B'Av. Duke, I forgot his name, Ferdinand?
Ferdinand, yes.
Guy's name. Archduke. I used to know Archduke. The guy's name.
Who was that Archduke, name? Whatever that means. He was an Archduke.
Duke Gemara Vayter. Shadr Alei Lanir and Kaiser.
Why is it so important to have a story?
I'm sorry?
Why is it so important to have a story here?
It's just telling you how Churban Beis HaMikdash came about. How did Churban Beis HaMikdash happen? Why is it important to know that the Romans burned down the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is not here. It's destroyed. So we want to tell you why you got the story of its destruction. So the story of the destruction started with Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Not the reason of the destruction. It's the story of the destruction.
By
Sheni.
So
there's no, Gemara doesn't get involved in Bayis Rishon. This is the story of Churban Bayis Sheni. Churban Bayis Rishon is in Navi. Churban Bayis Sheni is in the Gemara. The detail. In many, the Gemara does discuss Churban Bayis Rishon, but not here. Don't think about it. Shadr Alei L'Nero and Kesar. Now, simply put, it's Nero, the Caesar. Now, the problem is, it's not clear who sent Nero. To Pashit, you would say the Caesar sent Nero, but it identifies him as the Caesar. Now, you could say he became the Caesar later, but he didn't, as we will see in the Gemara. So someone of lower case here does not mean the Caesar, it means a general. He was just the head of the army, and the Caesar sent Nero. Not simple, I don't know how art school learns, it's a Shiloh.
He sent them to Nero.
What?
He says that he was the
officer. Yeah, I deal with the problem. The problem was there. Kikaasi, when he came, Shadigiri Lemizra Chasanafu Bishalayim. He wanted to make a test. It's amazing to see this. He wanted to make a test that the Rebbeinu Shlalem is agreeing to the destruction of Yerushalayim. Before I start up with the Jews, I have to know I'm going to win. How do I know? I'll make a test and see how it works. So he came, he sent an arrow to the east, Asanavu Yerushalayim, the arrow turned directions and went to a Yerushalayim. L'mayrav Asanavu Yerushalayim. L'arberuchas HaShemayim Asanavu Yerushalayim. No matter where he sent the arrow, it turned in Yerushalayim. Now, like Lenin points out, in one area, it was in the direction of Yerushalayim. The answer is he was far away from Yerushalayim. It shouldn't have reached Yerushalayim. And every arrow he shot propelled itself to Yerushalayim. What?
Not just the direction, all the way to Yerushalayim.
That's the answer to Kasha, because it makes it sound like all four were nays. It's not true. One was the way it's supposed to be. That's how they answer it. You want to have a different answer, you can say whatever you want.
Well, all four directions.
The one direction it went towards Yerushalayim. Okay, if you're not bothered by it, you can move on. Amaloy Leinuka. He stops the Jewish kid. And he says, Psyche Lipsukech. Tell me what you learned in Cheder today. Amaloy Venasatis Nikmasi Be'edam Be'adam Yisrael. I will take my revenge in Edom through my nation Yisrael. This is talking about one day, Mirchashem. Mashiach comes, we will take revenge against Edom. And we will be the catalyst, the way the destruction of Edom happens. Amar, so Nero says, Kutcha Barichu, Vayelich Ruve Beise. He obviously wants his Beise Magdish destroyed. I see that by the arrows. Vayelich Muriyad Abahu Gavran. Then he'll wipe his hands on that person. Meaning, he wants the Beise Magdish destroyed, but whoever does it is going to pay dearly.
He continued anyway?
We're middle of a story. Let's see. Arak, he ran away. Vyazul Vigayer. And he became a Ger. He said, it's not worth starting up with the Jews. That you win, but you lose. I got the message. The kid told me, don't mess with the Jews. You mess with the Jews, you'll pay a price. So I got a message from the Rebbeinu Shlalem that he's all for the destruction of Yerushalayim, but I also got a message that whoever does it is going to pay dearly. Meaning, it's like Parai. You didn't have to be in Gullus, but whoever volunteers for the job pays for it. Let me put it better. Nobody is destroying Klal Yisrael, Rachman al-Litzman, to do the Rebbeinu Shlalem a favor. Dr. Gemara Weitzik. Of a Nafik Meir Meir, and he was Zeicher, the Meir came from him. They say because he was Mechabit Taira. He was Machshav the Pasig that the kid said, to the point that he became a Jew. And for that, he was Zeicher to have a Tana Remeir, who was either, some want to say a son of his, but that's very difficult historically. He was a descendant of his. Rashi.
Rabbi, is this a legitimate reason for conversion?
What? Yes.
Is this a legitimate reason for conversion?
It was a legitimate reason for conversion because he got it that the Rebbeinu Shlalem takes care of his Jews, meaning he's not forsaking his Jews. He will never
he's
forsake.
He's not saving himself. He's not doing it to save himself. He's doing it because he sees the truth.
He saw the truth from that pasuk, correct?
He had to go through the Gehras process.
Of course he had to go through the Gehras process. Rashi, Shadda Gehra Lemizrach Liksim Kesem to do a sign, Shoy Samach Yerushalayim. Hu Yenuka, Hab Megam Gim Belishna Lagersin, and it doesn't say that he stutters with his words. Ve'ad Ami Yisrael, Ayidei Ami Yisrael, Lekachur Yadai, Lekaneach Yadav. He wants to wipe his hands. Don't think about it, I just Kaiser. So they spent Vespusen. He was the general that now came to conquer Yerushalayim. Asa Tzara Le'atlashni. He laid siege to Yerushalayim for 3 years. Habu Bahani Klas Atiri. There were three wealthy people in Yerushalayim. There were more wealthy people. But these three people undertook to take care of Yerushalayim. They not only were wealthy, but they knew how to use their wealth. Their names were Nagdiman Ben Gurion, and we'll explain why he was called that, Ben Kalba Savua, Ben Tzitzis Aksat. Ben Nagdiman Ben Gurion, Shinagda Lechama Bavuroi. There's a story in Masechta Sinus that that the sun delayed its setting. I don't know how he learns Nagda. Delayed or cut through?
Pierced.
Because of him. Story was that Yidden didn't have any water for the time of Aliyah Larego. There was not enough water. So he went to a guy who had pits of water, and he bought him the pits. And he said, by this and this day, you will pay back. And if not, I'll give you a ton of money. And that day came, and it hadn't rained. The pits were empty. So the guy came in the morning, sent him a message. I need my money. He said, I still got till night. The day progressed, and he kept on sending him messages, and he kept on delaying it. As the evening came, he went into the Beis HaMikdash, and he dived into the Rebbe Shlalem, and he said, I did this for you. Please help me. And all of a sudden, the skies opened up, and it was such a rain that it filled up all the pits and extra. So the guy came and claimed that it rained at night, that it was too late for the payment. And all of a sudden, the sun came out to prove that it was still day. So that's why he was called Nakdimoin, the one who the sun pierced, Ben Gurion. That's his story. Ben Kalba Sabua, Shkolaniknus Lebesik Shurav Kekelov, Yaitik Shusava. Anybody that entered his house hungry like a dog came out satisfied. I once said, Abshat, many years ago, that what does that mean, Rav Kekelov? The Zayir says, not that I know Zayir, but this is one quote I know, that Yidden Tzavchin Kekelov Hav Hav. We go to the Rebbeinu Shlalem and bark like dogs. Give us, give us, give us, give us. Without doing tshuva. So a dog has the audacity to ask for food, even though they don't deserve it. So people came into his house, Rav, comma, Kakelov, acting like dogs, demanding food. Still, Yaitik Shusava. So there's two ways to learn Rav Kakelov. Either he was hungry like a hungry dog, or hungry and active like a dog, and didn't give the proper derecheret to the person who was feeding him. And still he fed them all.
His father-in-law.
His tzitzis dragged on pillows, on covers, on whatever it is they put in front of him when he walked. His chair was in the Roman Senate. Whenever he went to visit Rome, they gave him cover. He obviously was a very, very wealthy man. He was in, I can't pronounce the word in English, where the Roman, the Russian rich guys are called O-G-L-R-I, again.
Oligarchs.
Well, he was an oligarch, meaning the Romans respected his wealth. Rashi, Did I say Nagda? Because of Nakva made it pierce. Loshin Makadrim Baharim. Nagda Lechama Zarcha Mishulim Sakhtasan. Titsasa Titsish and Talit. And Igraris, Agabi Kari Maksasish, Le Mahalach, Agabi Milos, he walked in silk. Igri the Ami Ben Titsish Shmoy, Velomenix Maksash, Sakhtasa Kisishalai, his chair, Matelas Ben Gzaila, Raimich, Shailach, Beremi Lagbuk, and Akasha. When he went to visit the Caesar, he was given a very big honor. Now, the Magan Avram has a problem here. It's mashma here that his tzitzis dragged on the floor. That means he walked, and his tzitzis used to drag on the floor. So there's many terutzim given. One says the teretz because there was something there separating it from the floor. Others want to say that enochanami, if a person, as long as when he puts it on, it doesn't drag on the floor, if later on it drags on the floor a little bit, it's not so terrible. It's brought down in halacha. Different terutzim are said, but the Magen Avraham has a problem with this gemara about so we tell people not to have tzitzis drag on their floor, but if it hangs on the floor, it's not like tefillin, which has kedusha, that's betuas. It is not the same. Again, preferably, we don't want it on the floor. But if it does go on the floor, it's not such a terrible thing. Chad Amar, one of these three people said, the Gamer Lehu said to the people in Yerushalayim, don't worry about the siege. Anah zainali b'chiti yusari. I will take care of all wheat and barley necessary to outlast the siege. That's what he had. I will provide wine, salt, and oil to outlast the siege. I have enough wood to outlast the siege. They said that's the biggest of the three. He used to give over all keys to his servant besides wood, because wood is necessary to process everything. On a certain measurement of wheat, to process it, you need 60 times the amount of wood. They could have provided for Yerushalayim for 21 years, meaning the Romans could have stayed outside in the siege, and it would not have affected Klal Yisrael for 21 years. That's what these three rich people had to provide for Yerushalayim. There were these people, Rashi says, empty people who wanted to fight. I don't know what article translates them.
Empty men.
Empty men. Amru, that's what Rashi says. Amru Rabbanan. Rabbanan said to these Biyunim, Nebig v'nev shalom b'adayu. Let's make peace with the Romans. Let's go to the Romans and say, we're sorry, we didn't mean to rebel. Please give us another chance. Which the Romans had done over many times before. Loishevkinu, the Biyunim didn't let them. They had control of the city, and they said nobody's making peace with the Romans. They wanted to fight. Amru v'nebig v'navet krava b'adayu. The Biyunim said, let's go fight them. Amru Rabbanan l'mistayi milsa. It won't happen. It won't happen. I saw one of the Mefarshim say, I forgot which one says this. Biyunim said, we're learning Torah. And as long as we're learning Torah, we win. And the Chachamim said, there's too much Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinam. The learning of Torah will not protect us. That's what I saw one of the Sfarim say. I forgot the name. But it was a reputable Chashev Sefer. So this argument went on between the Biyunim and the Chachamim. The Biyunim did not want to accept Das Torah. They wanted to go fight. And by the way, when they did fight, Yosefun, Josephus, has a count of the battles, and they killed tons of Romans. It wasn't like they were little weaklings and they went out and got destroyed. During the battle, they killed tons of Romans. They were very powerful. And theoretically, they could have won, except the Rabbanim didn't want them to win, so they didn't win. But Derech HaTeva, their wanting to fight, was not like off the wall. It wasn't like a bunch of idiots that said, let's go fight the Roman army. They really felt they could win. And as Josephus says in Yosefus, they won many a battle. But Chazal knew it can't work. This will never work. Kamu kalinu lahani armari dechiti visari. They burned down the storehouses of the wheat and the barley. No more food. The food that was supposed to provide Yerushalayim for 21 years is gone. Habakafna. And there was a famine. Rashi. The Trashi. Biyuni. No, before that. Havilu, the Anaklas, Hatiri, Chitu, Sari, the Chamre, the TV. Wheat, barley, wine, and wood. The Mazen, Kobane, Ear. Esther, Machai, Chata, for 21 years. Biyuni, Anashim, Rekim, Apaisal, Mamacham, empty people with a propensity. Is that the word he used? For war. We will not win. That would force them to fight. There's no food. Doesn't say. 3 years. It was after 3 years of siege. So obviously right after 3 years. Yes.
How do we view Josephus? Sometimes credible, always credible.
Rashi quotes him. It's not so simple. Definitely, he was a Yid. He turned to the Roman side. So the question is, did he alter history as he turned to the Roman side? That's one thing. Also, he was censored. The Yosefus that we have went through censorship. So we don't know who else anybody changed.
Who censored it?
The Goyim.
Sorry?
The Christians censored it. So, because he writes about early Christianity. So again, we don't know what's... But he's quoted by Rashi. Again, is he accepted as a source with no question on? No. But is he accepted as a pretty reliable source? For many things we turn to him. Especially when he writes about the Yidden winning, because if he turned against the Yidden, why would he write about the Yidden winning? And his history of the world is reliable up to that point.
Up to the point where he lived, or up to the point where he converted, went over?
We don't know. That I don't know. But he lived during the time of the Churban. That's when he lived. He writes the history of the world. So, he writes from Bryas HaOlam, through Matan Torah, through all these things. He writes a history. He's one of the early historians, Josephus.
What was the sources for the Bryas HaOlam?
I guess so. He was a from Yid. Right. A lot of the historical stories that you have from Rabbi Wein and others come from Yosefus. He will tell you it's from Yosefus. Nobody's trying to cover it up. The account of the battles and who read the battles. There were three groups of B'yunim, all those things that they say over. The Gemara doesn't say it. Some of it's a Medrash. Some of it comes from Yosefus. Well, Yosefus, yeah, you can buy it. Definitely in Hebrew. I read it, part of it in Hebrew. My father had a Yosefus at home and it was in Hebrew. I am sure that you can get it in other languages. Josephus Flavius, yes. No, Arsko does not have it, no. Sorry. If you want to write one with notes and everything, they left you a Malcolm link thereby, you know what I mean? You can write the Arsko first. So I'm thinking about it. Marsa Basbaisis Atirsa the Yerushalayim Haba. We're going to show you how terrible the famine was. Some of Arshim say that Badavka, we pick her as the example. She was a very wealthy lady, and she did not share her wealth. Now, is this the same Marsa Basbaisis that was married to Yeshua ben Gamla that we had in the Masechtas Baba Basra? Some say yes, but some say not, because Yeshua ben Gamla lived in the time of Yanai HaMelech. And that was 100 years, or 50, 70, 80 years earlier. But some want to say there were two Yanai HaMelech. The one that we know lived 80 years earlier, and there was a Yanai HaMelech now too. So it's hard to know whether it's the same Marsa Basbaisis. Whoever it is, she was a very rich lady. Shadus l'shlucha v'amid le'ezu aysa l'smida. She sent her messenger to the store to get me fine flour. The Azul is Dabin. By the time he got there, there was none left. Asa Amrullah. So he came and told her, Smida Leka, there is no fine flour. Chiyurtika, but there's white flour. I guess white, clean bread from white flour, but not the top of the line. Amrullah is Elisli. Buy it. The Azul is Dabin. By the time he got there, it was sold. Asa Amrullah. Chiyurta Leka, Gushkarika. Again, Gushkar is bran. Horse bread. There's barley bread. So there was nothing. She didn't have shoes on. She said, let me go out and see if I can find something to eat. A piece of waste material of an animal got stuck in her foot. And she was a very finicky lady. Umesa, and she got sick from it and died. The pasuk haraka b'cha, the soft one, va'anuga, and the finicky one, that had never had her feet step on something bad. That's the pasuk in the Teichacha, right? The pasuk is written in the Chumash. So Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai said, here is an example. A very rich lady who walked out without shoes and happened to step on something and it made her sick to die. Igadi Amri Gregor's Reb Tzadik Akhla. She ate the Tzadik's fig. The sneeze and she got sick because of her finicus umesiv. Now, what was this fig of Reb Tzadik? Reb Tzadik Yasim Arbin Shlim Betanesa. Reb Tzadik fasted for 40 years. Question is, was it 40 consecutive years? Some of Farshim say that's an impossibility. But over 40 years, he fasted on a pretty constant basis. To the point, we're going to see soon, the Lechem Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim should not be destroyed. 40 years before the Churban, he saw signs of the impending Churban. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that certain things started happening 40 years before the Churban. The gates of the Beit HaMikdash swung open every morning on their own. The Nehemiah Ravi never stayed on. There was a sword they saw in the sky.
Nehemiah Ravi never extinguished?
Never stayed on. Adarabba, it was off every morning. Which meant it was a sign that the Shekhinah is not there.
Not there.
Right. That was a sign of an impending korban. No. There was a sword in the sky. There are things that happen. You just have to let me finish. So they saw an impending korban. Reb Tzadik fasted. So just let me finish. So the Gemara says he was so skinny, you can see the food going down his food pipe. Kavibori, they healed him, and the Gemara is going to say later why they healed him. They bought him a fig, but he couldn't swallow a fig. He sucked out the juice, v'shadiluhu, and he threw away the fig. And that's what she found, and that's what she ate. And it seems the illness of Reb Tzadik had gotten into this fig, whatever it is, and she got sick from that, and she died. When she died, she took out all her gold and silver. She threw it into the street. Amra, she said, hi, l'maymi b'asli. What did this help me? They will throw their money into the streets. If you don't have food, your money is worthless. Yes. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. All the way up. Rashi says they burnt the wood down too. The Gemara just says they burnt chitzi v'sari, but the Rashi says they burnt everything down. Coarse bread, a piece of waste material of the animal. Because of finic this. She sucked out the juice. She ate it for her starvation. And from the fragrance of the illness, Tama, she tasted that umesa mistanusa. She couldn't handle it. Having mischazi begreina, she had shot in his throat. Mavroi mapo sherekoka, she was so thin. Having barik, kishgomer tari yosef, after he finished fasting, as the korban happened, for Rasa la havasatma, there was no point in fasting anymore. He wanted to heal himself. Again, I don't have any more than that. It says riptotic fasting. I believe somebody says, I might even meet in my shawl, had there been another person that fasted with Reb Tzadik, it would have prevented the korban. I don't know if it's in my shawl. Somebody that the Masifta brings down says that. No, it's not, I don't see it in my shawl. But somebody says that you needed more people to fast like that, it would have caused tshuva. Obviously, Reb Tzadik was a loner in doing that. Now, why? I don't know. I mean, fasting 40 years is not easy. Even Shabbat Shabbat Thomas was hard.
Others should get involved too.
Again, you can give them the Mussar Shmooz today. You're the one that's the Baal Mussar. Usually we have a different Baal Mussar. Today you took over his job. I guess he must have paid you last week. Yes.
How long did it last? Did it last 40 years? In other words, he started 40 years earlier fasting.
Was there a
problem back? I guess it was a problem back then.
There was simanim that a korban is coming. The doors of the base make this one open every day on their own.
That was 40 years earlier?
Started 40 years before. My Ravi never burnt. Never was on. I forgot all the stuff. It was a sword. They saw a sword in the sky. That was there all 40 years or not, I don't know. There were signs that the Korban is happening. Oh, the Sanhedrin was buzzing. They stopped judging the eating of Pashu. Things were getting out of hand. There were a lot of murders.
The Romans had influence then?
What?
The Romans were very influential.
The Romans controlled Eretz Yisrael. The Jews were given a right to practice their religion and do their thing with a king, supposedly, who was like a vassal of the Roman government.
So that was already...
100 years before the Korban, yeah. The last 100 years of the Beit HaMikdash, the Romans were the owners of Eretz Yisrael. So the first one, they rebelled, was the Taina. They're rebelling. The Romans came to quash a rebellion.
They didn't know there was going to be a 70-year gap between the two Korbanim.
This is the second Korban. This has nothing to do with the first Korban.
Wasn't there a 70-year gap?
70-year gap is between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. This is at the end of Bayis Sheni. This is 400 and some years later. Nothing to do with Bayis Rishon.
How long did Bayis Sheni last?
420. Now, just as an aside, The Romans minted a coin when they conquered Eretz Yisrael. They finally destroyed it. It was called Judaea Capita in Latin, that we've conquered the Jews. The Romans, they're Esav, they hated the Jews. It was a sinner. And when they finally destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, they viewed that as a huge victory. Because they knew that to destroy the Beit HaMikdash is not simple. And therefore they controlled Eretz Yisrael for 100 years and they didn't touch the Beit HaMikdash. Continue with Shem tomorrow.